Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to A Deeper Look here on KBOO Community Radio. This is coming to you on November 25th, the day that some call Thanksgiving, others call Genocide Cover-Up Day. I know for me it is a day when I like to reflect on what I'm thankful for, and one of the things I am thankful for are the leaders who take the forefront of the fight against the U.S. government and its wars. One of those is Madea Benjamin. She's my guest today. She's a co-founder of Code Pink. She is also a founder of Global Exchange, an international human rights organization, and she recently was one of the leaders of a series of protests around the Bush Library groundbreaking ceremony. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Madea Benjamin.
Thank you. Nice to be on.
Now, just about a week ago, you were in Texas, and you were part of 3 days of protests and demonstrations around the groundbreaking of the Bush Library. That's why I wanted to have you on today, because I'm not hearing enough response in the media out there about this torturer and his making money off of and the fame of his book, his memoir, admitting his torture. And so I was so excited to see your protests and hear about him. And I wanted to bring that to our listeners. So if you could just start with what were these 3 days about and who was there, that would be great.
Well, there were a group of us that came in from around the country and joined up with people in the Texas area, particularly around Dallas, to try to show that there were there was dissatisfaction along the idea that Bush would even have a library, and then of course this came at the same time as the launching of Bush's new book. So the people who came included folks like the former CIA agent Ray McGovern. There were people like Ann Wright, former colonel in the U.S. Army. We had Colleen Rowley, who was a former FBI agent. And then a lot of people who were stalwarts from the peace community, including members from the military family Speak Out, Cindy Sheehan, who lost her son in Iraq, members from Veterans for Peace, Code Pink members. So those were some of the folks who congregated in Dallas.
And you did marches. There was a March of the Dead one day?
Yeah, there was a very dramatic March of the Dead that we put on the white masks representing death and all dressed in black. And this was the day of the actual groundbreaking ceremony itself. We marched as close as the police would allow us to get. In fact, there are some very dramatic pictures that folks can see online of us sitting down in front of a phalanx of riot-geared police, and they wouldn't let us into the public viewing area, much less the ticketed area where people like Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney had assembled for the groundbreaking ceremony. But I was surprised, actually, at not only how well the police treated us, but also how well the coverage was. I was expecting that because this is such conservative pro-Bush territory, that the media would either not even relay the message we had or would put it out in a very disparaging way. But we actually had a lot of good coverage in the local Texas press.
Well, that's important. I didn't see a lot of... I saw, actually, coverage of those protests. Other than that, I found very little in the media. And I know that there's been much more activity in opposition to Bush being able to make this sort of, you know, book circuit tour and all of the major news stations all putting him on as if he's not a criminal. It's like as if we've all sort of lost our memory or lost our sense of moral conscience. And I think that's one of the questions that was asked at this 3-day thing. Where is America's conscience? And I do believe as individuals, we still have conscience. I see it every day in millions of ways. But I wonder about this collective willingness to allow what we were so outraged about just a few years ago keep passing. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think you brought up an interesting point, which is how the media has been treating George Bush with kid gloves, and it's been pretty nauseating to watch on interview after interview where they act like he is some great statesman instead of a war criminal. The other thing that you mentioned was the media lack of media attention to these protests. And believe it or not, protests have been happening all over the country where Bush has gone to speak. But unfortunately, while the Dallas media did talk about our demonstrations, throughout the country there hasn't been very much coverage at all of the protests. And in fact, there's been an underground movement taking George Bush's book in the bookstores and moving it to any appropriate section that people find.
I love this. I love this.
Right.
It's just such a great idea, this concept of just individuals walking into the bookstore and picking up all of George Bush's books and moving them to the crime section. Or I think they said they put them in a section called Wingnuts.
Well, there's a lot of great creative folks that are putting their photos up online on the Code Pink website. The book is not only sold in bookstores, but also in some places like Walmart's. And so we've had great pictures of people taking the books over to the bologna section, for example, and putting it in the next to all the packages of bologna, the diaper sections, the kitty litter, you know, all kinds of creative things. But this has been sort of an underground movement, and between that and the people coming out to protest and protesting inside Bush's talks themselves, that has not gotten national media attention. In fact, we were at a college in Texas where Bush went to speak, and the students were just outraged that he was getting $100,000 from their tuition to speak for an hour to the students. This was in Denton, Texas. And there were many students who came out to join us in a protest outside, but students also went in and protested inside. That got very little coverage. So I would say nationally, there's been a real blackout about the backlash against Bush. What we have seen is interesting overseas. I don't know if you and your listeners caught the comments made by the mayor of London warning Bush not to come there on a book tour because they said he might never leave the city because they would have him arrested. He also said he advised
this was the mayor of London?
Anywhere in Europe because there would be anti-Bush protests that could turn into riots. So that has gotten some coverage, but I wish that we got coverage for the fact that wherever Bush is going, people have gone out to protest.
I think that's so important. Now, you said that was the mayor of London that
yes.
made those comments? No, I had not read those yet. And I think it is very important that we hear about all of the activities going on. And so Code Pink is a good place. The website is a good place to go and look at those. There are other anti-war websites that I know people can Google and look at. But it isn't in the forefront of our news. And in our daily lives, we manage to not always get to the news that we should look at, that we have to go extra to find. I think it's very exciting, however, that he must be feeling harassed as he travels.
Well, I would not give it overblow the protest because, on the other hand, it is unfortunate to see how many people are buying the book. The book is selling hundreds of thousands of copies. They've done the largest publicity campaign for this book I've heard ever. He is getting a lot of support, as we see in those media interviews. So, unfortunately, I don't think he's feeling the heat. Although I did forget to mention the fact that when he went on Matt Lauer's show and talked about being proud of his authorization of waterboarding, and he does say it in the book as well, that the ACLU and Amnesty International came out and called for his prosecution. I think your listeners and all of us in the progressive movement need to take a broader view of history. And while there may be just small numbers of us outside protesting or getting inside to protest or putting his book in the bologna section, I think history will, in the end, reflect George Bush as a war criminal. It might take 10 years, it might take 20 years, it might happen after Bush is no longer around to witness it. But I think there will be some historical accounting for the fact that Bush not only is a president of a Western democracy that authorized a medieval form of torture, i.e. waterboarding, but the even bigger issue that he took us into war, destroyed the country of Iraq, killed, led to the killing of so many of our U.S. soldiers.
I agree with it, with that it's often can take a long time to bring people of this kind of stature who are war criminals to trial. Pinochet might be an example, the former dictator of Chile, who it took almost to his death to have it even get to court. But I'm concerned that we don't have a stopping of the policies of George Bush. Most who look say we have a stopping of some forms of torture. But if you go to Bagram and secret sites, certainly not what most people consider torture is stopped. There still are those kinds of interrogations being taken place. And so it continues. There's a continuity and actually an expansion and an increase of our military involvement in parts of the world. So as long as we are still the dominant imperial force militarily in the world, I wonder if we can ever get these war criminals brought to trial without a real upsurge in this country that changes the focus of this administration and whatever the next one is to come.
Yes, and the fact that the Obama administration refuses to look back at the crimes of the Bush administration means it opens the way to continue these policies, which is what the Obama administration is doing. The fact that we have a surge in this war in Afghanistan is outrageous given the country's desire for peace, given the financial crisis that we're in. And we do need to see movement in this country to be calling for an end to these wars. There is, I think, with the financial crisis, more of an opening for the anti-war movement now. You know, it's been very difficult in the first 2 years of the Obama administration to re-energize the anti-war movement. But I think now people are feeling a little easier about criticizing the Obama administration, feeling the need for finding ways to cut government spending that are not going to destroy our the little safety net that we still have. So hopefully we'll be able to re-energize this movement in the coming year.
And I'm speaking with Medea Benjamin, the co-founder of Code Pink and a leading anti-war activist. I think one of the most important things will be for the alternative media such as ourselves and all the different forms, blogs on the web. There's many different forms of alternative media, really to try to focus on the anti-war movement and support it and encourage it when it's going. Now, I know that you at those demonstrations focused on some of the other kinds of activities that people could be looking at and focusing on as part of the anti-war movement. And I wanted to get to a few of those. One of the demands or one of the encouragements was to support the Midwest anti-war activists whose homes were raided by the FBI. Can you talk a little bit more about how we as activists should support each other?
Well, that is absolutely essential. And I think the fact that these 15 activists, and also let's not forget so many of our friends in the Muslim community who have been suffering tremendously in the last couple of years because of FBI raids and attacks, that we have to stand up for each other. The fact that in this last demonstration at the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, you know, the yearly gathering that takes place where people protest the school that has taught torture to generals and military, not only over Latin America, but around the world. This year, the police infiltrated this, what is basically a religious gathering, had people in the planning meetings, and arrested not only people who had agreed and were participating in civil disobedience, but swept up journalists, even a barber who went outside to take a picture. We've got to stand up against police and FBI interference in our basic First Amendment rights. And a way to do that is to show support for these activists in the Midwest who were not only raided, but have been scheduled to appear before a grand jury. So yes, all over the country, people should show support for those activists.
I believe that some of those activists actually said they will not appear before the grand jury. They won't even appear to take their Fifth Amendment rights, that they're actually turning their back on the whole process because they feel that it's completely unwarranted and illegal.
Right. And the first subpoenas were dropped. Now they're being issued second subpoenas. So we are keeping in close touch with what's going on there. And I know here in Washington, D.C., where I am, we're planning in January some rallies outside the FBI to protest these kinds of attacks. I also want to mention that myself, I'm on the FBI list, the criminal list that has now been used by the Canadians and has meant that in my three recent attempts to go into Canada, I've not been allowed in, and this is because of nonviolent civil disobedience.
So you're all of a sudden a criminal because you are a dissident. I saw in one of the articles that there's a December 16th veteran-led civil disobedience scheduled for Washington, D.C. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that because it is veteran-led, and they are already coming out saying they will do civil disobedience in Washington, and they've asked for the rest of the community to join them and as support. And I think that will be very poignant to see veterans from both the Afghanistan and Iraq wars and veterans of Vietnam and maybe some of the even older folks. So that will be taking place on December 16th, yes.
And if people want to learn more about that action, can they find that on the Code Pink website as well?
Yes, we are not leading that action, so it would probably be better to find it on the Veterans for Peace website.
Okay, great. And they are one of the organizations that also sponsored these days of peace down in Texas around the Bush, the groundbreaking of the Bush Library.
Right. They were there in full force. They're really wonderful. A lot of them had been involved with Cindy Sheehan and the Camp Casey, the camp that was set up outside of Bush's ranch. And so for many, it was like a homecoming to come back to Texas.
I'm speaking with Medea Benjamin of Code Pink. I believe also that as the economic crisis continues to deepen, which it can only do, that there will be more upsurge. Right now, part of that upsurge has been the Tea Party. And I noticed that people were calling at the demonstration for people to reach out to people from all different walks of life, including some Tea Party members. So can you talk about that, expanding the movement as this economic crisis deepens and the opportunity for people to see these wars as damaging to the U.S. grows?
Well, first of all, we should be reaching out to those who are already allies in our communities, as we tried to do on October 2nd with the big rally that took place in D.C. called One Nation Working Together. In a lot of communities, particularly around the Northeast, it was a time to reach out to allies in various movements to say we have to work together. We have to bring the anti-war message into the union halls. We have to bring it into the schools, the PTAs, into the environmental movement. So there are already those who we would agree with politically on many issues that need to connect the dots with the financial crisis, with this deficit commission report coming out, to say that where we really need to make the deep cuts are in the bloated military budget. But I also feel we should reach out to people in the Tea Party, too. I don't think many of them, in fact, I don't think most of them, would want to be allies with us on this issue. But there are some, and those who are more of the libertarians, more of the Ron Paul supporters, who do believe that smaller government includes a smaller military. And Ron Paul is one of the best spokespeople on this issue, speaks out against the warfare state, against the 800 bases we have around the world. And your listeners might have heard him more recently on the controversy that's broken out about the airline scanners at the airports. Ron Paul has used this as an opportunity to ask the really deeper question of why are people attacking us, and maybe we should go to the root and do things like close down the military bases overseas. So yes, it's worth reaching out to those in the Tea Party that have a more libertarian bent.
Is there anyone in the current Congress or Senate that you feel really stands up to the administration around these issues around the war and who people can support in some particular way as well?
Well, certainly Dennis Kucinich has always been a champion for us, and he will continue in this, even in the lame duck session, bringing up the issues of the war. There is a progressive caucus, and it's led by Raul Grijalva, who is very good, and we have a number of people that are good on this issue, like Barbara Lee, the only person who voted against going to war in Afghanistan. But I would say that it's going to be very difficult in this next Congress, which is being led by Republicans. We have to keep pushing our Congress people to vote against more funding for war. But I think there are other things that we can do. For example, the State Department, which is under the Obama administration, now in the control of Democrats, we should be able to pressure them on something as simple as saying, why do they continue to give billions of our tax dollars to private security contractors like Blackwater that are known for fraud, abuse, and killing of civilians? So I suggest we have a campaign to try to get the State Department to cancel its contract with private security and to do its own security like it used to do pre-9/11.
What do you think is the practicality of that kind of demand, given that there's been such a transformation of the military to private contractors? I'm not talking about the ones we hear so much about in terms of Blackwater and the, you know, the violent use of that kind of contractor for protection or for operations, but just even all of the basic support has been, or much of that has been turned over and, quote, privatized. So I saw that as one of the calls, and I think it's good because it calls attention to that change and the use of that. But I wonder if it's like trying to, you know, whatever it is, you know, the young person who's already made it to the city, you're not going to get them back on the farm.
I actually don't agree with that. I think there's going to be even more leaks coming out. You know, WikiLeaks is saying that they're going to produce even more documents. There has to be an outcry how these documents are revealing so much about the security contractors' abuses. All that's missing in this mix is outrage from the public, because when these documents, the last set that came out, it was unfortunately during the heat of the midterm elections, and the story got buried. But if you look at the story, there are amazing examples there of the abuses of these private security contractors, including more examples of the killing of civilians. Now, the public should be up in arms in that, because every time that happens, it makes us less safe in the world. And I think the next round of leaks is going to reveal even more of that. So I would say that the State Department is vulnerable on this. Yes, you bring up a good issue that there's so much privatization that's already happened in the Pentagon, and that's why I say let's look at the State Department and say there, where it's in civilians are in charge, that we refuse to have more of our tax dollars going to companies that have been revealed to have killed civilians. So I think we just can't say, yeah, it's gone too far. We have to stand up and say, yeah, it has gone too far, and let's stop it.
The thinking behind why target the State Department definitely makes sense. So I appreciate that perspective. Well, we only have like a few minutes left. We're running towards the end of the year. Say what you'd like to say to our audience about this year of activism and or more for the future.
Well, I'd like to look to the future and have people get re-energized that the Tea Party should not be the only, quote, game in town when it comes to grassroots activism. And we know, of course, with the Tea Party, there's a lot of billionaire money going into that. But we've got to regenerate our base, not attached to the Democratic Party, not attached to the Obama administration, but a freestanding, strong grassroots movement that connects the issues that we care so dearly about. So I'm actually looking forward to next year to building the kind of alliances that we need to say, bring our war dollars home and rebuild America. We should be doing it at the local level, passing resolutions and our city councils, mayor's resolutions. We should be pushing it among our elected officials, and we should be using it as a rallying cry to say, let's put our priorities in the right direction, rebuild our tattered economy here, and end the wars overseas.
Well, that sounds like a great message to go out with, and I want to really thank you. I am thankful for you and others that are leading this fight, and so I want to thank you again for joining me. This is Linda Olson Osterlund with KBOO and A Deeper Look, and thank you, Medea, for joining us today.
Thanks so much. I hope you'll check out our website, codepink.org.
Absolutely.